Good morning, Sales Academy followers, listeners, tweeters, YouTubers, podcasters, everything in between us. You know who you are as. Thank you for joining us. So today's subject is a nod to the man that I spent an evening learning from yesterday and who's written some awesome books over the years and a scientist turned, some might say a poacher turned gamekeeper. I don't at all. He is still applying his science every single day, but he's applying it in what a lot of people call the woo-woo space as well, you know? So one of his books, How Your Mind Can Heal Your Body, is literally based on the way that we talk to ourselves and the energy and how we create chemicals in our brain that actually affect, but also it goes into the whole visualization of things that we need to do or things that we want to do or things that we want to achieve, outcomes and stuff. And, you know, this all ties in with well-formed outcome goals and NLP and modeling and all that sort of stuff. So there's loads of research and practice and experience out there of this. It's something that I've lived and breathed for years, but it's really, really a beautiful experience listening to a man who's so passionate about this subject and breaking the science down behind the scenes in really palatable bite-sized chunks. And that guy is David Hamilton, Dr. David Hamilton. So before we come on to that, today's musing is about three types of knowledge. And this is my personal take, right? So I want to share this with you as a personal journey, and hopefully it will land with some of you. But to me, in my experience of years of living and breathing and working and running my own businesses and stuff, I think there are three types of learning for me. Three stages of wisdom, should we call it? Yeah, let's call it that. Three stages of wisdom. The first one is learning something, right? Learning it. And I remember an old boss of mine years ago said to me when I was trying to figure something out as I was learning it, he said, stop intellectualizing it, Ad. Just allow it in. And it really frustrated me at the time because I was like, I'm trying to learn it. But he was bang on. I just didn't understand what he meant at that point. So in the learning phase, when we're trying to learn this knowledge, and we're because I'm not academic, right? I've never been academic. I wasn't in the schooling system academic at all. So, and I've never wanted to go into further education to the level. So, but I've been a sponge for knowledge for a very long time. And I love reading. I love watching seminars, attending training. I love it and I embrace it. And I learn with every single client. So every coaching session, I'm learning at the same time as coaching and supporting others, right? So I am an absolute sponge for knowledge and always will be, right? I'm a listening device. But not necessarily the most academic learner. So when I'm learning things, I'm going through these stages of wisdom. And in the learning phase, what I've found personally dangerous is it's a phase where you can be really dismissive. I felt, and I've experienced others, being really dismissive at that learning phase. So while you're taking the knowledge in and you are intellectualizing it, you're trying to figure it out, you're processing it, you could easily turn around and go, yeah, well, that's just common sense, isn't it? That's like, you know, surely everyone knows that. Therefore, that's easy. Or the alternative could be, well, as you're learning, you're going like, this is really tough. I don't get this. This is really hard. So we could be dismissive because it's hard. We could be dismissive because it's common sense. We could also be dismissive because, well, that won't work here. I'm different. Yeah, that doesn't really, you know, apply to me. Oh my God, do I hear that a lot, right? So it's like that initial learning phase is it's a lot of it, I think, is based in fear because we don't know what we don't know. And as we start to know it, we become aware that we don't know it. And then the shame and the guilt and the fear and all that sort of stuff starts to swim around. And we push through that learning phase of starting to learn it. And we get to the point of what I call getting it, right? Or no, sorry, understanding it. Stage two, which is understanding it. So we've learned the knowledge. We're now getting to the point where we're understanding that knowledge. And this is like the application phase. So where the learning phase is much more about the discovery phase, if you like, this is the application phase where you start to understand it. So rather than dismissing it, you've gone a bit deeper. You've allowed yourself to go deeper with it. And what you've started to do is take it on board and go, okay, well, let's see if what happens if I did, you know? So you start to practice these things or start to do these things that you've never been able to do before. And you then start to build memory and emotions and connections to all these new habits, new disciplines, new knowledge. So you're starting to understand the knowledge then and the application of it, which is brilliant. So now you're starting to see the value of it, right? The next phase is what I would probably describe as the getting it phase, which is the self-growth phase. Now, this is where you really stand in the power of that knowledge. This is when you are embracing it, you are living it and breathing it, and you are fully in understanding the power, and even using that word power. Some people can get triggered by the fact that you use power, and power is a control. I mean, when you stand in your own truth, the power in that, the strength in that, the authenticity in that is insanely powerful in a good way. And your body craves it, the chemicals it releases. And, you know, David last night was talking beautifully about the kindness hormones. And at no point did he use any other language than the kindness hormones. And it was one of the questions at the back. And he said, so what is the kindness hormone? And he was like, it's oxytocin, but it's normally known as the female hormone. So men are quite dismissive of it. But it's like, you can't live without it, right? So anyway, it was absolutely brilliant. But he said, like, your red blood cells are like parking bays for oxytocin to get into. They're like the cars that park in. And when they do, they grow and they expand. And then when they grow and expand, the heart has to work less to push them around the body. So by doing things that create kindfulness to you and to others actually help reduce your blood pressure. There's scientific evidence and research to prove all of this stuff. The visualization stuff that David was going through yesterday is like, and there's a brilliant example which I'll share with you, and I'm quoting him, I'm going to tag him in this, and I'm going to share his links to his, because I want to celebrate this man's brilliance and share it out there with you guys. And if you haven't read his stuff or seen his stuff, I really, really challenge you to get involved. He was talking about, I think the book that he wrote years ago was called Action and Observe. And I hope he re-release it. David, I want to ask you, when are you going to re-release that book? To talk to your publisher and get it re-released, because I think you're bang on. It is really relevant now. Because in NLP and modeling and stuff, when we look at modeling behaviors and modeling outcomes, we want to look at how do we take the good bits and, you know, kind of miss out some of the mistakes and blah, blah. There's all that kind of stuff that goes on in that space. And when we look at the visualization that Dave was talking about yesterday, and this is what I talk about a lot, is he was lower in the ranks in tennis, in his tennis club. So he learned Andy Murray's serve by watching it on video on loop. So he used technology to just loop it 100 times. And he was like, I'm going to watch this 3,000 times. So the science in him, the scientist in him, is classic. And this is just, he does this like breathing, right? He just got the video, watched, looped it using a piece of technology, a piece of software, to loop it so it would play for 100 times each time you played it. So it would see Andy Murray's serve 100 times. And then what he did was watch that for 30 days straight. So every time he watched it, he knew he was going to be watching 100 times Andy Murray's serve. The reason he was doing this was because he wanted to watch it 3,000 times so he could learn what it would be like to be able to do that serve, because he didn't already have that knowledge. He couldn't visualize it because he didn't have it inside of him because he'd never done it. So he went to watch somebody doing it and doing it well so that he could learn it, and then he could then visualize him doing it. So when he's making a cup of coffee or walking the car and sat on the train, he now has the memory that he's learned from Andy Murray of how to do the serve, and he's now accessing it in a visualization. So he's not actually physically doing the serve, he's just visualizing himself doing the serve that he's learned from Andy Murray. He ended up winning his division that year. So the power of visualization in terms of the outcomes we can have, this is what I'm talking about in terms of that phase where the self-development phase, where you really lean into it and you really truly start to understand the power of that knowledge and how you apply it. So you go through the kind of learning it phase, then you go through the getting it phase, the understanding, and then the understanding phase. And then that third phase of the self-development, and it really, that's when you really truly get it, right? So you learn it, you understand it, you get it. And getting it is so, so different to learning it. Remember, in the learning it phase, we can be dismissive because, well, that's common sense, isn't it? If only. So if you hear anybody say, well, it's common sense, challenge them. Okay, so how is it showing up for you? How would you apply it? If it's so easy and if it's common sense, next time you have that funk, next time you have that challenge, how are you going to apply that knowledge to be able to pull yourself out of it? How are you going to be able to lean into that knowledge that is easy and common sense for you to be able to apply it? And this happens for all of us, right? I see it in business. I see it in life. I see it as a parent. I see it in myself. And for years of sitting in this space of challenging myself to grow and be better, I'm looking all the time for ways that I can improve for less effort. And visualization is extremely powerful. And do you know, in my leadership days, I used to say to people coming for interviews for jobs and stuff like that they were in my team going for jobs within the company, or maybe they were going for jobs outside of the company. And people that I've helped in their careers and coached in their careers later on, I've been saying to them, look, let's go past the interview. They're like, what do you mean? And I'm like, let's do an exercise. Let's go past the interview, right? Because they're getting psyched up about the interview. They're getting prepared for the interview. They're getting fearful and nervous or whatever about the interview. But I'm like, let's go beyond the interview. What I want you to do is think about, and I want us to visualize, you're already working for the business and you're at your 12-month review. So you're sitting down with your boss. So let's think about what are some of the things that you'd have experienced in that first 3 months, the first 6 months, and the first 12 months. Let's look at some of the experiences. So you would have gone through training and probation, getting to know the role, getting to know the product, whatever it might be, the service, getting to know the part that you play, getting to know your teams, your colleagues, the kind of infrastructure, the communication. You'd be getting to learn all of that stuff, right? And then the projects that you've delivered or the work that you've been working on and the customers that you've supported, whatever it might be in the role, let's have a look at like 3 months to 6 months, that knowledge base growing. So as you start to learn it, and then you get to the understanding it, and then you get to the getting it. 12 months in, let's look at the mistakes and how you overcome them, right? Let's imagine and visualize you being in the review with your boss, talking about how your first year has gone, sharing your wins and your successes confidently and unapologetically, sharing your challenges and how you overcome them and what you specifically did and how you dug in and what skills you represented, communication, leadership, delegation, you know, perseverance, grit, determination, whatever it might be. What did you demonstrate to overcome that? Let's focus on your review going exceptionally well, then go see how you smashed the interview. And the amount of times, in fact, I've never had somebody come back to me and go, that didn't work. So the power in our mind and the impact that it has on our ability to complete stuff. Again, David made a brilliant point yesterday, and I think this comes into the goal setting stuff for a lot of us, is that your mind will raise to the expectation. Now, bearing in mind, David's background was he was a biochemist, basically. So he was creating drugs for cancer and cardiovascular. And in any drugs trial, if you did 100 people with a drug, you have to do 100 people with a placebo, a sugar pill, to be able to check the true results of the trial. So, and what he became fascinated by was the amount of people that recovered and saw progress that had the sugar pill. So there's got to be something in the placebo effect. So he became really fascinated by this in terms of, well, medication stuff was supporting, but actually the placebo effect amplified everything because there was a huge amount of belief that this was working. And because they believed it was working, it did, funnily enough, right? So he kept research, and there's hundreds of scientists and researchers all over the world for the last few decades have been really pumping this from the 80s to understand the power of it. And David's kind of leading the field in lots of ways in this space. Because the power of the mind over what we can do and what we can achieve. When you set those goals and aspirations and expectations, when you set those goals with the end in mind and you start to really get the, you know, what would you do to celebrate those well-formed outcome goals that you do in NLP, where you look at the celebration of achieving the goal, what would you be wearing? What would you be doing? Where would you be inside, outside? What would you be eating? What would you be, who would be with you? You know, you really get to turn the volume up of the modalities of what it is you do to celebrate achieving the goal. Okay, so what did you do to achieve the goal? What was the goal firstly? Really specific. Then what did you do to achieve it? Actions, thoughts, behaviors. What did you say and do and feel? And then right at the end of it, how would you feel celebrating achieving that? What would you be feeling? And that becomes such a powerful reality. And we talk about this a lot when we talk about people and behaviors, is that the mind doesn't know the difference between, there's a fine line between imagination and reality. And the unconscious mind really doesn't know. This is why we love TV and box sets and films. This is why we can read books and make up really, really clear characters in our mind of who that person is. And then you go to the play or you watch the film and it doesn't match because it's not the character that you've built from the story. So your brain creates these images, these pictures, this reality, which isn't. It's based in imagination. So you can utilize these tools that we know happened and work and have scientific evidence to back it, plus huge evidential of outcome and anecdotal outcomes of it actually working. Or you could just turn around and go, it's not for me. This doesn't work. It's all voodoo. It's all woo-woo. And you know, if that's the case, you do you. I know what works for me, and I know what works in my heart. I know what works for me, and I know what's worked for thousands of clients that I've worked with over the years. And that is really truly understanding the power of us and the power of wisdom. And that wisdom for me comes in three stages: learning it, understanding it, and getting it. The choice is, are you going to dismiss it or are you going to lean into it? Because if something's too easy, I don't believe you've understood it enough. And I certainly guarantee you haven't applied it enough. Peace out. Have a brilliant day. Dr. David Hamilton, thank you so much for a wonderful evening. Look forward to seeing you again soon. Yeah, brilliant night. Well done. Well done.